Welcome to SyncCreate. This is a show where we explore the intersections between creativity, psychology, and spirituality. We believe everyone has the capacity to be creative, and our goal is to demystify the creative process and expand the boundaries of what it means to be creative. I'm Melinda Rothaus, and I help individuals and organizations bring their creative dreams and visions to life. So, very excited to have you two here today. We have Ben Toma and Brian Thompson, the co-founders of Creative Mornings Austin. And Creative Mornings is a sort of global organization that has chapters in many different cities around the world. And there's generally a monthly themed creative event. And so y'all have, for what, 8 years now? 10 years now.
Almost 11, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Have been bringing Creative Mornings to the Austin community. So I'm very delighted to be talking to you today. And I've, you know, had involvement with Creative Mornings over the years in various ways as an attendee, as a presenter at one point. You know, Ben, when you and I were kind of talking initially about the possibility of doing a podcast episode, you described Creative Mornings as kind of church for creatives. And so I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I think that's been something others have said about us. That hasn't been our intent, but we tend to draw people into a space where you can be pensive, you meet somebody new as you sit down, and we have a lot of the same rituals that a lot of religious organizations might have. So we gather, we feed you, we have a sermon, we have music. it's easy to see the connection if you are looking for it. Yeah, I think that comes out of just wanting to create a space that is both predictable in terms of, oh, I know what I'm coming into each month, and I've done that before, but also being a place where we're asking someone to speak. And so how do you set that up, and how do you warm people up to receive a message and hear something new? Unlike church, we move it around. I guess we're like an old school church,
like a revival.
A traveling church.
That's what we should do.
It's that consistency does create a space for fellowship to naturally happen. Yeah. So in that regard, it is very much like a church.
That's good.
I mean, can I get an amen?
Yeah, exactly. So you're in a different location each month.
Yeah, and that's important to us because we really do want to show off different areas of the city, both for accessibility, you know, you might not be able to get to a different part of town, but also giving people access to spaces that they may not otherwise get to experience.
Yeah. And just some of the ones I've been to, they've been at different office spaces, or one was kind of outside at the former Livestrong Foundation, and, you know, just different, some breweries, all kinds of different venues.
Yeah. Breweries are great because they're typically not busy in the morning.
Yeah.
So the key part of Creative Mornings is that we do this thing in the morning. But it's also just one of the elements that sparks inspiration, is just getting out of your office, getting out of, you know, after the pandemic, your bedroom or wherever your office might be. And even driving to a different part of town, for a lot of people, that checks the biggest box of all, is just getting up and getting somewhere new.
Yeah, kind of getting out of your routine, shaking it up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of your kind of mantras, as it were, with Creative Mornings is that everyone is creative and everyone is welcome. And from what I understand, the two of you kind of embody and embrace those two principles in different ways. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why I was so excited about today, because when I first heard the intro to your show, I was like, wow, values aligned.
Yes.
And that is something that's really important to us, is finding people with similar values or overlapping values and amplifying that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's really that the dual of that everyone is welcome, everyone is creative.
Yeah.
And I kind of see my role in Creative Mornings Austin to be kind of the cheerleader, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I really want people to step into the space and feel like they belong, feel like they are seen, and that this is a space where they can be themselves and really connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm talking about the alignment. I mean, everyone is creative. It's one of those things that seems obvious on the surface, but for Brian and I, coming from a background where we both worked in advertising,
mm-hmm.
We were often in the creative department. So that wasn't a hard thing to like accept. Oh yeah, I am a creative professional. I'm a creative human being.
Right.
But for a lot of people, they've been talked out of that idea throughout their life, whether it was a teacher who said, you know, you're really good at this. You're not good at creative stuff like art, or you're not good at drawing. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't really pursue this creative area.
Yeah.
Or people who think, oh, I'm not good at music, so I'm not creative. I'm really good at numbers.
Yeah.
But I think the truth is that it is innate. It's innate to us as humans that creativity is a part of who we are. We don't get to choose who is or who is not creative. We all have it. We just use it to different degrees, to different levels. Not all of us have to be professionals in order to be creative. And so for me, a big part of that is just putting that out there and letting you know, if you showed up here, we see you as someone who is creative, how you pursue that, how that manifests itself for you could be very different than the next person. And we try to represent that. The big piece that I get to do, which is a joy for me, is curating our speakers.
Yes.
And so we're constantly looking for speakers who break the traditional mold of what you think is a creative person. And in fact, what I just did there is like one of the things I try not to do, which is to use creative as an I did it right. I did it right.
Yeah, it's not a noun.
It's not a noun. We always, trying to focus on creativity or the word creative as a adjective, not a noun.
Yeah.
And so looking for creative hobbyists, creative entrepreneurs. My favorite example that I always bring up is the attendee who would do taxes during the day, but then do taxidermy at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as just as relevant a creative person as anyone else, if Matthew McConaughey was sitting next to him, both are creative.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To Ben's point, creativity manifests in different ways.
Yes.
Somebody that works in Excel spreadsheets all day, I've seen some formulas that boggle my mind, and that's a creative act.
There's some amazingly beautiful spreadsheets out there that I personally could not.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, creativity really comes, there's two forms. It's either connecting dots to create something new, or it's solving a problem.
Absolutely.
And what realm or what profession or what activity doesn't involve one of those two things?
Yeah, for sure. In one of my recent episodes, we were talking about scientific creativity, and people don't always put that together, or mathematical creativity, or business creativity. And personally, I see sort of creativity and entrepreneurship as absolutely intertwined.
Literally creating something.
Yeah.
This happens to be a business.
Exactly. And you're engaging in the process of innovation and problem solving. But, to your point, Ben, it's amazing, how many people have these, almost sort of trauma around being told earlier in their life that they weren't creative in some way. And people really carry that. And so many people kind of go, oh, well, I'm not creative. And it's like, no, we all have that capacity. And as you said, we use it in a myriad of different ways in our daily life, So I'm curious, you were mentioning kind of the format and the speakers. So usually people arrive, there's tacos and coffee, there's a musical guest, and then a speaker, sort of a TED style talk. So how do you go about curating the speakers, and kind of what do you look for, or how do you engage in that process?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's a potential speaker. If everyone is creative, everyone's a potential
speaker.
Exactly. So that's a good problem. what we typically do is we sit down with people and we just talk through their story. It's usually starts with how long have you been in Austin? Mm-hmm. Because that's the connective tissue to our event in our city, and ends with, that's amazing. I didn't know that existed, or what you're doing is incredible. So what happens in between there is just generally a series of questions that just gets to, what is it that you do and what gets you excited? What's your creative journey like?
Yeah.
And then we layer in the themes that we have coming up. So those themes aren't known publicly. They're something that we keep a little close to the vest, just because it's the sort of thing that when we announce our event, it's one of the surprises, the person, the where it'll be, the theme, they all can be surprises in that given month. But we share that with our potential speakers. And then I ask them to tell me what word, because they're all one word themes, what word resonates with you?
Yeah.
And that generally gets to a great story or a great insight. And that's when I know, okay, we've got someone who's really great for this theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we get into details and stuff like that.
The other nice thing about the themes is that the creative brief, if you will, that we give our speakers is always the intersection of that word and creativity.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty broad Venn diagram of where two things overlap, because you know the words vary from next month is going to be perspective. Oh, I gave it away.
Oop.
I'm not supposed to tell. but right. Been in the past, it's been anything from wilderness. And what's fun is that different chapters around the world each pick a theme.
Yeah.
So when it was our turn, the theme that month was weird.
Uh-huh.
In Austin, nice. People often weird.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that is really important to me about it, because giving a talk is a creative act as well. I mean, you're putting together a presentation.
Yeah.
You're sharing of yourself. Storytelling is a creative act. And so what we're doing is giving just the right amount of rules for our speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity doesn't come from just a blank canvas. It comes from a canvas that ends and ends and ends, and then you've got to work within that.
Yeah.
So we just try to set up those two guardrails as the always-on theme, which is creativity, and the monthly theme, which is this month is native.
This month is native.
So creativity and native, where they intersect. And that gets a reaction out of people, both from the speaker's perspective and also the, I think, the audience's perspective. Oh, I want to hear someone talk on that theme. I want to hear someone else's. I have my own thoughts about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it, importantly, that and the time box of 20 minutes,
yes.
which is how much time you have, sets people on this proverbial road to explore and create something that stays in the lane. And that's really important, because it becomes, yeah, that creative act. You're actually not just talking about your creative journey. You're actually doing something creative by being in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those 20 minutes provide just enough structure. I mean, you could do anything you want within that 20 minutes.
Right.
We don't vet the talks or approve them in advance. So one of the, like Ben mentioned the word surprise earlier, one of the surprises, you never know what you're going to get
when
you show up. I mean, we've had people, a lot of people share their personal journey or their professional journey or where those two things overlap.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had people do like artistic pieces, spoken word. It really just, you never know.
Yeah.
One speaker did his entire talk accompanied by a pianist. So people
awesome.
Really bring their own flavor to it every time.
Yeah. He also took a lot of creative liberties with the time. It was a little longer than 20 minutes.
Creativity, much like giving a talk, any creative act, you have to have just enough structure.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's think outside the box.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have a box.
Yeah. In order to get outside of it.
That provides the rules. And then you can decide what rule you're going to follow or which rule you're going to bend or break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's often said that creativity comes out of constraints,
yes.
right? And that's one thing we were kind of talking about when we were chatting about this, is that, you know, how structure and sort of the rituals that you all incorporate into the event, how important that is. So, you know, on the one hand, it provides a container, if you will, but then there's a lot of room to play.
Yeah. Yeah. The flow of the event really provides kind of a landing pad for people because we do provide coffee and tacos. Mm-hmm. And so you arrive, you get a feel for the space, you get in line for your coffee, and then you talk to the person in line next to you.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens when you grab your taco. And suddenly now you've had these intentional moments. Or they're intentional by us to set them up. But now you've met somebody new that you didn't know before.
Exactly.
And now you know there's somebody there that you can recognize. Maybe you sit with that person, maybe you don't. But then people, you know, kind of mix and mingle while they're drinking their coffee. And then you find a spot to sit. And oh, there's somebody new to talk to. And then the talk starts, you pay attention, you take it in. And then afterwards, you talk about what you just experienced.
Yeah.
You bump into that person that you saw at the beginning again, or you see a friend or an old coworker you haven't seen in a while, and then you suddenly have something to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not just the usual, how are you? How have you been?
Right.
It's like, wow, what did you think of that or that? Here's what I took away from this experience.
Totally. Yeah. One of my favorite, actually, Instagram posts is from a Creative Mornings where it was like, meet the person next to you and now take a selfie together. And I can't say that I've kept in touch, but we had a lovely little moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it when that photo comes up.
It's that shared experience. It's what, because we've talked a lot about what are we here for? Is it just to put on a talk and things like that? And we really want to create and cultivate community.
Yeah.
And we're putting that around creativity, and creativity is the one thing that could unify us. But then after the event's over, everyone who's been there has had that shared experience. So you see that person again 5 years from now, five minutes from now, you can at least harken back and say, oh, you were at that event too.
Yeah.
I remember this. And that connective tissue makes us a much stronger community and gives you the basis by which you can unlock far more conversation because you're just getting past the basics and you're getting into the good stuff next.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of my personal favorite themes, in fact, Charlotte, my business partner, and I are writing a book on creating in community. So I think, you know, for Creative Mornings, you know, it's all about creating a sense of community and just the power of that. Because sometimes when we're working individually, we can start to feel isolated. And just to know that there's a whole community of people out there bringing them all together, sort of cross-pollinating. So I'm curious, you know, your thoughts on you know, the importance of community and maybe, I don't know, is there anything that's kind of surprised you over the years or new connections forged or, you know, things that have come out of the Creative Mornings gatherings?
Yeah, I think the two words you just said really sparked my, it's about community, but you also use the word cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
And that's really where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Because what is community but forming connections and how are ideas formed? You connect to things that may or may not have ever been put together before.
Exactly.
So you expose yourself to new people, new thoughts, new ideas, new backgrounds, diverse opinions. And suddenly all that kind of goes into a stew, if you will. And you don't know what you're gonna make or what it's gonna taste like until you're in it.
Yeah, and you never know exactly who's going to show up from month to month or what that's going to look like.
Yeah, so we've had people that have found collaborators to work on a project. People have found jobs. People have found romance even.
Awesome.
It really is all about forming connections. And again, that communal experience just provides a container for those connections to happen.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, one thing I would add is, I think of it as a chance to meet neighbors. And we live in a society now where I can't even tell you one of my neighbors' names, but I can tell you the other one. Why is it that we have trouble with the people physically, right next to us? But we're okay with, you know, getting to know someone on the internet around the world. And the internet is beautiful for that. I mean, actually, the internet is what brought us together.
Yeah, I was curious about that, actually. How did you two connect?
Yeah, pour one out for Twitter, but, you know, that was the means.
Yeah.
Prior to dating sites, Brian and I found each other on Twitter.
Yeah,
no, we both lived in New York, followed each other on Twitter, but didn't know each other in real life.
Interesting.
That's right. And then he moved to Austin about 6 months to a year before I did. But we both had a very similar experience coming here and feeling welcomed by the city. And so I really wanted to start this with someone who I thought would understand and appreciate what Creative Mornings was. I had been an attendee at Creative Mornings New York, where it was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Brian had probably commented on, appreciated, and followed Creative Mornings in some way. And so when I reached out to him, I said, let's get together and I want to float this idea. And the idea was just, let's pitch being the host for this.
Yeah.
But going back to that, that other idea of neighbor is just that we want to put people on stage who are, you don't just see as this thoughtful individual, inspiring individual, but really as that inspiring neighbor, that person who lives where I live, that is within my reach, and hopefully expose the opportunity to, you know, widen your lens and just see more people as your neighbor and willing are worthy of your appreciation, and that they are creative and their creative acts may be interesting to you. I mean, that's been definitely true of Brian for me. I'm constantly amazed at the things that he tackles in his own entrepreneurship, his creative writing. There's lots of ways that I see him as a creative neighbor that, you know, this doing this work together has made a clear to me in ways I would never have fully appreciated if it wasn't. That's
the beauty of it happening every month is you're meeting your neighbors literally when you grab a taco or coffee, you're seeing a neighbor up on stage, and there's this sense of, oh, if they can do that, I can certainly do my thing. And what's great about Austin and Creative Mornings in general is that other people want to see you succeed.
Yes.
They are more than happy and absolutely willing to lift each other up. We use the phrase that, you know, you're not just showing up for yourself, you're showing up for each other. Even if you're, you know, totally introverted and you just want to grab your taco, sit in the back and watch and then sneak out without talking to anybody, that's okay, because you're still welcome and you're still a part of this experience and you take from it what you will.
Yeah. I love that.
One last thought here is just, this city has grown so much in the 10 years that we've been here. And the idea that someone else is your neighbor gets harder and harder to imagine when there's just so many people here. You know, I think we're over a million people proper in the city now.
Yeah.
And we've got just neighborhoods where people really don't leave. Like, people talk about not going north of the river or south of Town Lake
don't
and things like that.
Don't want to deal with the traffic.
Don't want to have to cross on a bridge because it's a pinch point or whatever. But the reality is, you know, that there's so much that we've experienced firsthand that feels neighborly and this city is great at. And so as we've grown, I hope that we've been able to keep that connective tissue going, or more opportunities for that connection to happen, because we saw it so evidently when we arrived. And I mean, we were big when we arrived, but Austin's just exploded since.
Too. And especially with Austin.
Probably because of us.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So because of us, so many people move here. But Austin and us, obviously, attract a certain caliber of people.
For sure.
That want to be a part of this energy.
Yeah.
People that want to create things and make things and live a life that Austin lets you be a part of. And that energy feeds on itself. Every person you meet is another opportunity to learn something new or find a spark, and you don't know where that's going to lead you next.
Yeah. And I love this because it speaks to me to the theme of this has come up in some of the episodes recently where, you know, kind of in the maybe wider mainstream world, there's at least in our society in general, there's so much emphasis on competition, right? Mm-hmm. Getting ahead. And to me, I think what is so important and so enlivening about creativity is collaboration and supporting each other. And like what you said earlier, you know, like, we want everyone to succeed, and look, we're all here together and we can inspire each other and we can learn from each other's stories and maybe find collaborators. And, you know, it's so much more to me satisfying and enriching if you approach things and creative work in that way, rather than like, oh, I've got this idea and I can't tell anyone else about it because they might steal it, or, you know, something like that. So
ideas are just out there in the ether. They find a home, and if that home isn't with you, they're gonna find that idea is gonna go to somebody else,
right?
So just put it out in the world, because you don't know what's gonna happen. But
exactly, and one thing leads to another, you know. Once you start putting something out there, maybe you find collaborators or people who are interested in doing the same thing, or like, oh, I can support you in this way, or I can support you in that way, or I know someone you should talk to.
Oh, have you thought about this? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we have both worked in advertising. I think advertising did a great job of teaching me that you have to just pump out ideas at a fairly high clip, because mm-hmm. that's what the industry demands, at least when you're an art director or copywriter like we were. Mm-hmm. But the real thing that I learned from that is that you don't have room for new ideas to sit in your head and take up space in your head until you express the ones that are already there.
Yeah.
I think often of them being in the ether around me mm-hmm. and grabbing at them. But you won't, like, to Brian's point, anybody else can grab it too. It is ethereal.
Yeah.
And it's all about execution. So Brian's a great example of taking an idea and trying to make it into a small business or a mm-hmm. project. Mm-hmm. This Creative Mornings thing has been very much that for us. We use it as a platform to create little projects here and there, like we do, ornaments every December,
nice.
Things like, which forces us to create something that is easily laser engravable typically and speaks to something that's happened in the community.
Yeah. And we've done things like limited run posters just to give away for fun, just because it's something cool to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's, to mix a metaphor, you know, these ideas are floating around in the ether. What if we do this? But then creativity is also a well, and that well never runs dry.
Right. Right.
And that you can always go back and think of another idea. And it may not feel like that in the moment when something doesn't pan out or when you're feeling stuck. But then you take a walk or you meet somebody new and suddenly a new flood of ideas comes through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that, because, you know, there's that saying, like, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's been done before. But we each have a unique perspective and set of experiences that we bring to any creative idea, and only we can tell our story or tell it from our perspective, right?
Yeah. I mean, the sun rises and sets every day, but step outside and that light is going to look different every time.
Exactly.
Man, we're trying every metaphor we can.
I love torturing a metaphor.
We often go back to our first speaker, who's a native Austinite, not native Austinite, I'm sorry. It is his name. His name is Austin Kleon. We're big fans. And when he spoke, he was talking about his second book in this trilogy of books that he put out, which was Show Your Work. Mm. But right before that was Steal Like an Artist. And I love that book because it acknowledged that I can take that same idea, mm-hmm. but inevitably my fingerprints, whatever I do to execute, will be different than yours.
Yes.
And so I think at some point in the book, he like challenges you to go paint a Van Gogh. And it's like, you will never copy it.
Right.
You will never copy it. You can be accused that you were, you know, trying to make a Van Gogh, but ultimately you put your own experience mm-hmm. and your own hand into that. And I think that's the difference in Stealing Like an Artist, is recognizing that you can't not put yourself into it if you go for it. So like, it's easy to simplify, like Uber and Lyft, they do the same thing. Well, no, there's a quality mm-hmm. to each that is different, intentionally and unintentionally. And they're also companies. So like, what can you really do? There's thousands of people affecting those brands. I mean, we talk about brands because we think about things in that way, given our history. But but ultimately, as an individual, you go ahead, go try to copy that thing, do it. And then that little thing that's different will be the thing that sparks something that makes it unique. And you get to create in that. And so that's often the thing that you could do to, if you are a person who's like, I'm not creative, I can't be creative, it's just go copy stuff.
Right.
Just do it. And inevitably you make it your own.
And you're going to learn something in the process. Like, how did they do that? Or, you know,
100%.
Yeah. One of my favorite exercises when I was trying to find my voice as a writer, because we're literally type out a short story, copy it word for word.
Yeah.
I remember I'd literally typing up Hemingway stories, and it really resonates, because you pick up how they do it. And then you go and experiment with what you want to do differently. Because to Ben's point, we all have our own experiences and influences, and those come out in our work, whether it's intentional or not, which is the beauty of going back to that idea of you don't have to be competitive because you might be doing something very similar to my idea, but it is not going to be executed the same. So you don't have to worry about running out either of ideas or the outcome of those ideas. There's the table's big enough for everyone to get a seat. I'll torture another metaphor. It's the pie. You know, you don't have to fight over crumbs or like, oh, I'm going to get a bigger slice. Just let's make a bigger pie.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm in the SyncCreate book, we talk about, you know, study work that you admire, you know, just like you're saying, and like literally typing out someone else's story, you start to learn the craft, right? Oh, I see what they're doing there, you know?
Yeah, or try doing it with something you don't like.
Right.
Like, that's not for me, but people love it. Why is that?
Why?
Dig into it and like pick it apart.
Kind of deconstruct.
Why does it resonate with other people? Yeah. Or what is it about me that it doesn't resonate with?
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, since you both come from an advertising background and you're both in this creative realm, I'm curious, like, number one, you could take this however you want, whatever direction, but like, what have you learned about creativity and the creative process or your own creative process by virtue of that work? And another way to maybe phrase it is like, what advice would you give to someone either just starting out or kind of struggling with their own creative process? I'll just throw that open to you.
We've talked a lot about structure already, but I'm gonna narrow it down a little bit more to the phrase garbage in, garbage out. So, you know, you have to, like, everybody has guilty pleasures and that's great and you can enjoy those. But also look for things that inspire you and take that in. But in the advertising world, when you get a project, it's like creativity on demand. You get a creative brief and that outlines all the information you need to solve this creative problem. Right. How do you sell more soap?
Right.
Well, here's the ingredients of the soap. Here's the people who buy the soap. And here's what we want people to know about our soap. And here's how we want them to feel when they use it. Mm-hmm. So all those constraints, all that box is handed to you. So I guess I'm saying give yourself a box. And just start throwing stuff in it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like give really yourself a prompt. Give those guidelines, those structures, and then see
what the best way, the idea of the blank canvas came up earlier. If you just stare at a blank page.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, so many times in advertising, being on the receiving end of a creative brief, you'd go, that's like three too many rules. there is the opposite where it's like, well, here's the solution. You just wrote the headline in the brief. Here it is.
Or this is garbage. You're going to get garbage out. So let's challenge those assumptions. Right. Let's challenge those rules.
I think, I think as students, we were taught to make spec work, which was to make up the brief and make up. And so you can certainly do that for yourself, not in an advertising capacity. Sure. You could say, if you want to try making a podcast, here's the audience I want to talk to. Here's the format. Here's the time, et cetera. I wanted to touch on something that I feel like was freeing for me, which was I put a lot of pressure on myself to be the one who came up with the idea, that it was on me. And I think this happens in the ad industry a lot, where, you know, you're just being asked to produce ideas. And the truth of the matter is that I found it crushing. The pressure of it was ultimately too much. I mean, we're both not talking about still being in the ad business, by
right.
It was fun for a while. But what freed me from that was a talk by Elizabeth Gilbert. And she has been, I don't know if I'm using this right. It might be a malapropism, but she's like my muse, or I'm her muse. I can't remember which way it would be, but she has served several epiphanies to me through her work. And one of them was around genius.
Yes.
And so I really took that to heart. And if you haven't seen the talk, it's worth looking at because she's more eloquent about it. She's also more accomplished than I am. But she talks about the looking to the root of genius,
mm-hmm.
and that coming from the Greeks. And the idea is that genius was, it was intended to be a spirit who worked alongside
yes.
you,
yes.
as opposed to what we do now, which is assigned that as a definition or
a title
or a characteristic
or an inherent trait mm-hmm. yeah. or something.
So, yeah. so Brian is a genius.
Don't mm-hmm. thank you.
No, no, sorry, Brian. If you listen to
I mean, no, Liz, no, I'm not. I mean,
yeah, no, the truth is that, she talks about it from her writing perspective, where she talked to her genius. She anthropomorphized the genius.
Yes.
And I think that is a good way to do it, actually. I really thought about that and bought into it, and it freed me of the pressure and of feeling like it was all on me. It was all on my shoulders to go create something. Instead, you have to show up and do work.
Yeah.
And if that collaboration between spirit and you is present, then something bigger and better will happen. And I think the thing for me is that the truth of that spirit is the things that you surround yourself with, whether it's the books you read, the movies you watch, the places you go, the food you eat, the people you commune with, all of that makes up your spirit mm-hmm. and your shared or the experience that your spirit and you have. And all of that is available to you when you're doing the work.
Yes.
So you got to sit down at the typewriter or the computer or the laptop. You have to sit at the easel. You have to sit at Photoshop. You have to get in front of the microphone, whatever it is that you're trying to use as your creative tools. And you have to be willing to just go to work and then do enough outside of work to create a very robust spirit to work alongside you
yeah.
and realize that that spirit has all the choice in the world, whether it wants to work with you right then or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she says like, I'm going to be here for 8 hours. If you'd like to show up and work with
exactly.
me, that'd be great.
Exactly.
And so for her, speaking to it was helpful.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that point where I've had to do that.
Yeah.
But I think for me, there's just truth in removing that pressure, that idea, you know, the way I think of it is like, I just say it about people who say it, who people will say, Kanye is a genius. And I just go, Kanye is not a genius. And I just state that. And that helps free me of the idea. Like, no, he is not a genius. He's working with his genius a lot. And clearly not other times.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then there's two things that really are salient to me about that. Number one is, you know, creativity is all about making associations between things. So the more kind of richness we have in our environment and our interactions and what we're reading and listening to, and, you know, that then those ideas are constantly, you know, brewing in our minds. So we have that to draw from. And then we got to actually just sit down and do the thing and, you know, create the conditions for the muse or the genius or whatever yeah. it is to land in our space.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, one thing a lot of people struggle with, right? Oh, there's so much going on in life and so many responsibilities and, you know, carving out that time
yeah.
to
well, the other sit thing
and do the work.
That relates back to us is find yourself a partner who doesn't have exactly the same life.
Yes.
Because they bring their muse, they bring their spirit with them, and it just grows the experiences that you're drawing from. And Brian said it earlier, like creativity is just putting two things together that may have never been joined before. Well, that comes from those shared experiences.
Yeah.
Comes from those disparate experiences. And one of the good things about advertising was it taught me at least that, you know, work with a partner.
Yeah.
And you have, like, even just being in a session where you talk through things, and there's a mutual respect and an appreciation for the skills that the other person has, you just get to a better place. And so the way I've done that recently, besides working with Brian on Creative Mornings, is mm-hmm. actually having an accountability partner for writing, just LinkedIn posts.
Yeah.
Just having someone that I meet up with once a week and we write posts together and then we like each other's posts so that we can mm-hmm. help the algorithm out. Mm-hmm.
Lift each other up.
Yeah, lift each other up.
For sure.
But it would, you know, he edits mine, I edit his. And so giving yourself some kind of partner who's may just be an accountability partner, but ultimately is a partner in the work like he's writing about very different things than I'm writing about. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to make the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And what that does, it's another way of creating accountability, but it forces you to be present.
Yes.
So whether you're talking to another person or that creative spirit that's guiding you, mm-hmm. you have to find that focus and like, now I'm doing the work. And
yeah.
it doesn't have to be 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. It could be the 5 minutes while you're loading the dishwasher.
Use that's the car time you're able
you to have. The time you have.
Exactly.
But it's about, now I'm going to focus on this.
Yeah. And you can be amazingly productive actually in short spurts. And then just
having kids taught me that.
Yes, exactly.
Gone is the luxury right. of time.
Yeah.
Like I've got, you know, when they were younger, it's like somebody just fell asleep. I've got a half an hour right. to get everything done that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that includes the dishes and the project I'm on deadline for. Yeah. And that really teaches you to kind of cut out the BS, if you will. And like, I'm going to put in the work and maybe the outcome is something that works and maybe it doesn't, but I've carved out that time to put the focus into it, and it's gotten me a step closer to where I need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. All great tips. Accountability, partnership, the synergy of collaboration.
Yeah.
So I'm mindful of our time, which is flying by, but I kind of want to end. Well, anything else you want to add to the conversation that we haven't touched on yet related to creative mornings, creative process, what y'all are up to beyond Creative Mornings? Anything else to share there?
Yeah. Should we go personal? You want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Love right. to.
Well, Ben's alluded to, I love a good side hustle.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, we have these ideas and you yep. throw them out into the world. So Ben mentioned the ornaments we do every year. Mm-hmm. I have a laser engraving side hustle.
Oh, nice.
Where I have a laser engraving machine and I just make stuff. I put a lot of logos on coasters. And that's just a fun avenue where it's not something I ever thought was going to turn into a side
yeah,
business, but
yeah.
it was a project that just grew over time into a life of its own. So be open to those ideas because you don't know where yeah. they're going to lead. And
yeah.
then, you know, our past careers. Been
Wait a minute. Hold on. Lasersmakeitawesome.com.
If you need your logo engraved on a coaster or perhaps wooden nickels to give away as tokens for buy one, get one free deals, go to lasersmakeitawesome.com.
Brian we'll loves to make a new notes. Business with... with a cool name. So.
Yeah.
I can't do anything unless I come up with a name. So
exactly.
You do it, that's another trick. You have to figure out what gets you excited yes. about a project and focus on that first.
And so. Give, well, to your point about, give it a handle.
Yeah.
Give
yeah. it something and just putting cool. a name to it yeah. does help you focus.
Yeah. And it gives yeah. you the ability to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here, you just have the little story. So that's a side hustle I've had for years. What my focus has always been copywriting. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, long career and advertising. So, you know, if somebody wants to give me a pile of money to come up with ideas for them or hear some great words, always happy to do that. Brandwriter.com.
There you go.
Nice.
But it's funny. I used to have notebooks where I would just scribble down random ideas.
Yeah.
And then years ago, and still to this day, now I just have a random idea and I buy the URL for
uh-huh.
it. So
yep.
I think this is true of a lot
Always
of creative people
practice.
These days where you just, you have URLs that maybe nothing will come of it, but you know you've got that gem there waiting
just
for you.
Just in case.
If you ever want to come back to it.
Totally. Yeah. How about yeah. you, Ben?
Yeah, I don't have side hustles that I do. I'm actually the guy who says you don't have to make your hobby a job. That's okay.
That's also true.
It is also true.
It's also true.
So yeah, I mean, I was just trying to think about what I should share. I think the only thing I would add to all of this is that, you know, putting time into things that you care about, being a volunteer for many things in my past and currently, it's the thing that sustains me when I'm working on the hard stuff. So, yeah. I think being a volunteer has been my life lesson is that it's meant more to me than any money that I've received.
Absolutely.
So money's great though. Money's oxygen.
Yeah. We love money.
Yeah.
Do the oxygen thing because that's a great
you want to
metaphor.
Tell me. Well, so this is something that I one of my truths, which is that money is oxygen, and it is again not something I thought of. It's just something that
you stole it.
I stole it. I didn't even put my own mark to this one. I just repeat it constantly to let people know. But yeah, well, I'm job hunting right now, and so mm-hmm. this is a point where the money isn't flowing. And so I'm very aware of the fact that it is like oxygen and it feels a little bit more like gasping than I would want it to for that. Whereas on the other side, if you've got more money than you need and you're still going at it and still going after more, it's giving you a high that is not leaving you clear-headed. You aren't necessarily focused on the balance of having something important in your life that isn't about money. And so we talk about it with Creative Mornings, like, do we want to have just enough money to run the event? We're talking about becoming a nonprofit right now and working on that. And some of the thinking is actually to get more money to do more things. But that's the reason, not just to get more money
unto itself.
But that's a way of framing money that has been helpful to me, so that I at least can, like most things, if you can name it, you can have some domain over it. And so thinking of money as oxygen has allowed me to keep a good framing for what money should be and what it needs to be and what you hope it to be in other places too.
To Ben's point, creativity does not have to be what gives you that oxygen. I love turning ideas into businesses and seeing if I can make money out of it. That's just the brand guy in me just thinks that way, but it doesn't have to be. Ben's point about volunteering, that's what I love about Creative Mornings. I always say we get more out of it than we put into it. And I think that's true of volunteering, and I think that's true of whatever creative act you're pursuing. The journey of the destination is another cliche, but it really is about, it's not about the output or the price tag you put on it. It's about what do you learn along the way and just enjoying that ride and seeing where that flow takes you next.
Yeah, the process unto itself, the experience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you guys.
Yeah, we could do this much. All day.
I know. We might have to do a part two. We'll see. But so if people want to learn more about Creative Mornings Austin, how can they find you?
Yeah, creativemornings.com, creativemornings.com/ATX if Austin, but is your city. But really, I mean, the joy is to share it with everyone. So when you go to the website, you can pick from a drop down and find the city closest to you. Texas is blessed with 5 different chapters.
Wow, I didn't know that.
El Paso, we're waiting for you to show up. but really, if you're traveling, that's another great way to do it.
Like, definitely.
Look up the city where you're going. Maybe they have a Creative Mornings. So you get to meet people in a community that you really care about. But here in Austin, we do it once a month. You're always welcome. And we're always looking to find new speakers and venues. So if hearing this inspired you to think Creative Mornings would be something to host either in your place of business, or maybe you want to help support those tacos, we can always use that support too. So you can find us online at creativemornings.com. You can email us, austin@creativemornings.com. The important thing is there's an S at the end of morning. So creativemornings.com.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
This has been really
nice. Thank you.
It's been great. So at SyncCreate, we're here to support your creative endeavors. So if you have an idea for a project or a new venture, please reach out to us for one-on-one coaching or join our SyncCreate 2024 coaching group. It's a 6-month coaching group that starts in April. And you can find the podcast on all the major podcast channels and on YouTube. We're on social media. So find us, connect, subscribe. And the podcast is produced here at Record ATX Studios in Austin, and with collaboration from Mike Osborne at 14th Street Studios. So thank you.